PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you here in studio. Blake Cripps and crew on their way to beautiful Edmond, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Where this afternoon the Emporia State Hornets will take on the eighth-ranked folks from Central Oklahoma. Big game, both teams.
Of course, big boy game.
Of course, Emporia State trying to finish the season strong, get to 8-3 on the year, improve their chances of getting a postseason spot, probably in a bowl game somewhere.
I think there's only one bowl game from what I heard.
Oh, we're down to one?
I believe
Okay.
I'll have to double check that. I think I heard Blake say something about there was one bowl game available.
Okay. So very important then for the Hornets to improve their chances and plus beat a top 10 ranked team. Of course, Central Oklahoma playing for an outright MIAA championship, so it'd be nice to potentially derail that a little bit.
Spoil the party,
that's
Garen
right.
Higgins and company.
That's right, as Pittsburgh State will be rooting for the Hornets today, the Gorillas, on the road at Northwest Missouri. Pittsburgh State needs to win. Central Oklahoma, of course, then would need to lose, and those two would share the MIAA title. So, Gorillas will be Hornet fans, which is a strange thing to say, but true. So, good luck to the Hornets today. Again, a big game there in Edmond, Oklahoma. Noon pregame on Mix 104.9, 1 o'clock kickoff from Edmond, Oklahoma. Unfortunately, a rough night for the majority of our area teams who were still alive, although congratulations to Council Grove, the Braves, a big win over Humboldt last night.
Yeah.
31-8. So
they were the 13th seed out of the East, and they're getting ready to face the two-time defending champions, Nemaha Central, who needed to score late against Osage last night. And big congratulations to Coach Gattenbein and his Indians, and they're a really good football team, and unfortunate that they had their season end as both the 1 and 2 seeds in 2A East fell last night.
So, yeah, Nemaha Central, as I mentioned, beat Osage City last night, 33-27. Osage City, that's their only loss of the year, so they finish 10-1 on the year. Another team to suffer its first loss last night, Burlingame contest you heard on Country 101.7 FM, went right down to the bitter end before losing to Frankfort 46-38. The final score, big difference in that contest, 2-point conversions.
I saw that last week with Chase County, too.
Yeah, Frankfort is 5 of 6 on conversions, Burlingame 1 of 6 on 2-point conversions.
Yeah.
And there's your difference in the game. So Burlingame finishes 10-1. Had their chances late. They got the interception.
And then they turned it right over.
Very next play, right after that, they turned it back over and allowed Frankfort to go score the what was ultimately the game-winning TD. So Burlingame season ends, but what a great year for the Bearcats. Again, 10-1. And then the Madison Bulldogs. They had won a couple of games in the postseason before running into a buzzsaw last night, losing to Clifton Clyde 46-0. Madison finishes their year 7-4, and Dylan, you were in Madison last night to cover that on Mix 104.9. Just too much Clifton Clyde.
Yes, and it was literally from the opening kickoff as Madison fumbled the return, And then Clifton and Clyde took over and scored right away, and just Madison couldn't get anything going. And they were trying to drive late in the second quarter, you know, with the mercy rule in effect with about a minute left. And they were trying to get into the end zone, just couldn't get in there. But a big congratulations to Coach Ty Schraber and the Madison Bulldogs on their season. Also, props to Jeff Slater and crew, as Jeff Slater now turns his attention to girls basketball, and one of his assistants, Eric West, the boys basketball coach at Burlingame. So they turn their attentions now to basketball, and I cannot believe it, Tim Miller, 20 days until the season opener for our area coverage and Emporia High.
Yep, basketball right around the corner. And, of course, we'll be talking a little basketball here this morning. Taylor Scott, the Emporia High girls basketball coach, will join us here momentarily. She's in studio with us as we speak. Also, we'll hear from Alex Gold from 96.5 The Fan out of Kansas City. And then we'll wrap things up with our weekly visit with the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Big game for the Chiefs tomorrow afternoon in Buffalo. To take on the Buffalo Bills should be a good one. We'll talk to Mitch about that contest. Just to wrap up football here real quick, in case we don't have time at the end, KU, K-State, both are big games today. Kansas State at home against Arizona State. Of course, the Wildcats still entertaining hopes of getting into the Big 12 championship game. Mm-hmm. If they can win some games here down the stretch and get some help, K-State again at home. 4 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock kickoff. Mm-hmm. That contest, of course, you can hear on Country 101.7 FM. And then if you're a KU fan, I hope you like to stay up late because the Hawks at BYU tonight. About a team that could play spoiler. These last couple of weeks of the season, we'll have BYU this week,
Colorado
next week,
and then Baylor.
Yeah, so Kansas could really be a team that will dictate who is in the Big 12 championship game. Again, BYU undefeated, ranked number 6 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
KU still fighting to get into a bowl game, but they would have to win the remainder of their games to do so. But they looked pretty good last week against Iowa State. We'll see what they do tonight. Again, a late game, 7:30 pregame, 9:15 kickoff.
Big 12 after dark, everybody.
Yep. And again, that game will be right here on KVOE AM. Before we take our first break here, Dylan, our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week.
Oh, I thought we stopped doing those.
Do we do those? Have you stopped?
Yeah, we stopped.
I've been out of commission here for a couple weeks.
I know you have. I think Blake mentioned it a couple weeks ago. So, we stopped doing those at the end of the season. So we'll pick those up again December 7th.
Gotcha. All right. Now I'm officially in the loop, Dylan, so thank you.
I should have sent you the dates over as well. I know Michelle Boyce, one of our sales reps who handles our partnership with Emporia Main Street for that. December 7th. We're taking a little break on it.
All right. Well, then let's go ahead and squeeze in our first break, and when we come back, we'll visit with Taylor Scott, the head basketball coach of the Emporia High girls basketball team. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, why wait until Black Friday to get great savings offers when you can get Black Friday savings right now? Savings like up to $9,300 off MSRP on our new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTZ Crew Cab with Costco membership. Or lease a 2024 Chevy Blazer EV, only $399 per month for 36 months with Costco membership. And come see our inventory of top quality pre-owned models in stock now and Black Friday priced. So don't wait another day for Black Friday savings on new Chevy models. Come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia today or visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Blazer lease based on 36 months, 12,000 miles per year with $4,100 cash or trade equity plus tax, title, and fees due at signing with approved credit.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The Kentucky men's basketball team is off to a 3-0 start under new head coach Mark Pope. On Tuesday, the 19th-ranked Wildcats knocked off 6th-ranked Duke at the Champions Classic in Atlanta. After John Calipari left Kentucky back in April, the Wildcats program turned to Pope, who won a national championship with the Wildcats in 1996. Despite having to rebuild most of Kentucky's roster, Pope already feels like his new Wildcat squad has forged their own identity.
This group is special. This group is, and they've been that way before we played a game in the summer. Nobody knew each other. Nobody ever been with you, you know. These guys have been so intentional about working to love each other.
History for the Hoosiers, next on This Week in the NCAA.
Want to keep your gas-powered engines running like new? Stables' proprietary formulas are proven by third-party testing to outperform the competition in keeping fuel fresh, preventing corrosion, and cleaning the entire fuel system. With Stable, you can have confidence you are doing the right thing for your engine's long-term health. Just pour into your gas can or fuel tank, then top off with fresh fuel. At every fill-up or when you store, start with Stable. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Curtis looks, fires it deep down the field. He's got Elijah Surratt. Touchdown! 36 yards on the throw.
Don Fisher with the call on Learfield last Saturday as the Indiana football team defeated Michigan for just the second time in the last 36 years. The fifth-ranked Hoosiers' magical season continues. They're now 10-0 for the first time in program history. Next Saturday, they'll be in Columbus to take on second-ranked Ohio State. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk. Again, we're driven by LongbineAuto.com. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you here as we now focus our attention on Emporia High girls basketball. We've got Taylor Scott with us here in studio talking girls basketball as their season just... Wait, Coach, just a few weeks away. Hard to believe we're already here, but we are. I guess let's just start. Of course, you're in your first year now as head coach. Give us a little bio. Tell us a little bit about Taylor Scott.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure.
We actually start Monday. We start practice Monday.
So. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. It's here. A little bit about me. I grew up in Belle Plaine, Kansas. Went to school at ESU, so I was kind of familiar with the area and with the community. And so when that teaching job came open in Emporia, I jumped on it because I'm familiar with it and just love being here. So I'm really excited to get to work this season with the girls.
Well, Coach, you've been on staff the last several years, and that's got to be important in your transition. But do you feel like that's kind of played a factor you got the job in May and you had a summer to work with the girls? But do you feel like the transition to head coach has been kind of smooth?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely is helpful. And we were kind of talking about this before you got in here. I mean, just having relationships with those girls already and with, you know, my assistants, Bob and Brett, and just knowing everybody in the school community already and, you know, the Emporia community has really been helpful. Just having that familiarity, and it feels welcoming, and it's been a smooth transition.
So then how long have you been in the district then? How many years?
This is my sixth year teaching in the district.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And have you coached the entire time? Or?
I think this is my fourth year back with the high school basketball team. I actually did some field experience work with them whenever I was at ESU. So I had been around Coach Neinstead, and Coach Dorsey was an assistant at the time. So fourth year with the high school, but I did some coaching at the middle school too before coming back to the high school.
So you are saddled with assistants Bob Miller and Brett Stewart.
Yeah.
Huh? So, well, hopefully they'll give you some help.
Yeah. They're great.
Pull their weight.
They're really great.
Well, Coach, I know you take over at an interesting time, especially with a group of 12 seniors graduating and a fourth place finish at state, and it's a lot of pieces moving up from JV up to varsity, and it's gonna be a challenge here early to find an identity and who you want out there.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, graduating 12 seniors is a lot, and we're going to miss them. And honestly, just the personality and being with them at practice, because it was such a fun group of kids to be around. But the good news is, yeah, like you said, our JV girls that are returning and will be varsity players this year, you know, they had to battle against those girls every day last year. And when I say battle, I mean those seniors from last year, they didn't give them anything easy during practice. So I mean, it's nice that they've competed against that high-level talent, and now they get to step into those leadership roles that, you know, they were led from those seniors last year, so now they get to step into that leadership role themselves.
Well, and obviously, I mean, you're certainly starting with a clean slate when you lose virtually an entire team. Mm-hmm. But it has to be, you know, Dylan used the word challenge, which I think is a good word to use, but it has to also be exciting too, just to kind of see how this team's going to come together.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've got some freshmen coming in that I really like, and they've played quite a bit together, so it's been kind of fun seeing them mesh with some of those older girls. And yeah, a clean slate's a good word for it, but I'm really excited to get to work with them.
And Coach, when you look at what you have back, and probably the one that maybe has the most varsity experience back is Adaya Hefner, who will be a senior for you guys, and then everyone else is, you know, just moving up. Maybe besides Adaya, who else do you see, you know, moving in and trying to make some contributions early, and you know, getting some true varsity reps up? You know, early, and you mentioned about a couple of freshmen. I know you mentioned Macy Davis to me over the summer, but, you know, who you like?
Yeah, Adaya is definitely going to be huge for us. I think this offseason she's definitely stepped up into that leadership role, and Coach Stewart likes to kind of joke that she's like the mom of the team. She was like the mom of our JV team last year, and I don't know that she likes that comment necessarily, but, you know, I get what he's saying. She takes those kids under her wing, and she really just, you know, gives them that confidence and keeps supporting them any way she can. So she's definitely going to be a big one for us. Katie Smart is another one that, you know, got quite a bit of JV playing time last year that we're going to need to step up a lot this year. So I'm pretty excited about her as well. And yeah, I mean, like you said, we talked about some of the younger kids this summer and some of the contributions that they made, like at ESU team camp and things like that. So, I mean, really, there's a bunch of girls that I'm excited to work with this summer or this school year.
Well, I would imagine that the off season had to be huge for you guys in terms of just, you know, getting kids basically acclimated to being a part of a varsity team. So I guess give us an idea of how the off season went.
Yeah, we had a team camp at the high school, and that was great just because we got to see who was interested and see, you know, kind of what we were working with and what we wanted to run offensively, defensively, and things like that. So that was nice to kind of get those younger kids mixed in with the returners. And then obviously we went to our ESU team camp here in town, and that was really great for us because we had enough to take two teams, which was a good experience. So we had a varsity and a JV, which I was really proud of them. I mean, they're from the beginning of team camp to the end of team camp, you know, we played some teams multiple times, and there was just a tremendous amount of growth even over those couple of days. So that ESU team camp was definitely really, really good for us. So I appreciate Coach O for putting that on.
Yeah, I guess this first week going to be very important to figure out the pieces, because then on Friday is Meet the Spartans, which you got to be really excited about. I know I'm excited about it as well, and I'll kind of formally announce it right now, but I will be the MC for that event for the second consecutive year. So I'm very excited to, you know, see the new pieces and go from there, Coach. So you got to be excited for next week.
Yeah, next week's definitely going to be a really busy week, but Meet the Spartans is a good way to kind of cap off on Friday night, and just so everyone in the community will get to see the product that we're going to put out on the court this year. They'll get to see the boys team. They'll get to see our Little League team, so hopefully we've got a bunch of Little League teams that are going to show up and be a part of that as well. So it's a really cool event that we put on, and I love how the community comes and supports us in that event.
Well, Coach, give us an idea of your philosophy. What will a Taylor Scott coach team look like offensively and defensively?
Well, offensively, you know, we just really want to run our stuff. We want to be able to do what we game plan. So we've got a couple of things that we're looking at putting in that'll look a little bit different than the past. So you guys will kind of get to see that coming up pretty quick at Liberal, honestly. And defensively, you know, our defensive presence is huge for us. We take pride in being tough and getting on the floor after loose balls and rebounding hard. And, you know, I just want to put a product on the floor that plays together, has fun, likes each other. You can tell they want to be there because those are the things that the community wants to see. Those are the things that all coaches want to see, the community wants to see, and it just makes being there a good time. So that's kind of what I'm expecting for this year.
And as Taylor mentioned, December 6th, season opener at Liberal, going to the Big House in Southwest Kansas. So, a couple of road games in the month of December. You go to Great Bend as well. You saw Great Bend twice last year. Great Bend will be a little bit different this year, but they still have some pieces back. And then also you'll have the Paul Terry Classic again. It'll be held at Emporia High this year due to the availability of Wyatt Auditorium, with that landing on the week of seasonal celebration. So you're going to see the same teams, Wichita, Trinity, Spring Hill, and of course you'll get a first look at Hayden, Hayden will have back.
Yeah, honestly, Paul Terry is going to be a great little tournament for us. They've got all three teams have quite a few returners, so it'll be nice for us to have an early season tournament that against some experienced basketball teams.
The overall schedule, I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, you can say this every year. Certainly, it will prepare you greatly as you get into the latter part of the season into postseason play, which I know is a long way down the road. But I'm assuming the schedule will be just as challenging as ever.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually looking at that the other day. Even our non-conference games, we've got some pretty good battles that we're going to be coming up against. You know, Independent won state basketball last year, so that should be an exciting game for us. Liberal and Hayes both had really good seasons last season, and, you know, Hayes battled with a lot of people in our league last year and played some pretty good games against teams in our league. So we should have some pretty interesting matchups, and then obviously our league is always just stacked. I mean, Rural with – you know, Vickery coming back, Hayden with, you know, Ramsey and Meyer. We just got a lot of really good athletes in our league, and so it's always a battle every single night.
And you mentioned about Hayes, getting them. They were the ones who took Bishop Carroll to the wire, and that's who the Lady Spartans drew at state. So it would have been interesting to see Hayes last year, but Bishop Carroll was able to hold on and meet the Lady Spartans at state. So And you mentioned it's challenging, and it's an interesting schedule, you know, throughout.
Yeah. Obviously we played a lot of really good teams at state last year too, with Bishop Carroll and Mies South and Andover. But like I said, it's just going to be a battle every single night. There's never a night off in our league. And, you know, we really tell the girls that any given night, anybody can be anybody. So it's always fun. It's always really fun playing league games.
What have you found to be maybe the biggest challenge for you personally as you move from an assistant coach to the head coach?
Honestly, you know, there's just a lot of things that go into being a head coach besides the actual coaching aspect of it. So that's been kind of eye-opening for me. But as far as – I'm just excited to get to working with the girls. Off-season is a whole bunch of getting things organized. And, you know, my booster club's been really great. They've done a lot of things for me, and I really appreciate all of them and all the work that they've put into the season before the season even begins. So that's been something that's been kind of eye-opening for me. But I really appreciate all the support from not only my assistants but the booster club and just the community in general. Everyone's been really supportive of me transitioning into this new role.
And real quickly – time for Meet the Spartans on Friday. I believe it'll be Friday evening at Spartan Gymnasium. Details on?
I'm not 100%.
I thought I would ask you, but since I know too, 6:30 to 8 is Meet the Spartans coming up on Friday, so you'll get a chance to look at the Lady Spartans for the first time.
22nd
yes.
of November?
Yes, okay. So this coming Friday, so okay. 6 days away. So sorry, Taylor, if I put you on the spot.
It's totally fine. I'm just – this week's is going to be such a crazy week. I'm actually just trying to take it day by day.
Be a blur.
With you. Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Okay, so Friday, November 22nd.
Yes.
At the high school, 6:30.
6:30 to 8. Okay. Should be a fun one. I'm excited.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
All right. Well, Coach Scott, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you as you begin your first year as head coach. Look forward to watching your team play and covering you throughout the course of the season. And just the best luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about our girls.
All right. So Taylor Scott, the first-year girls basketball coach at Emporia High, with us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Alex Gold, 96.5 The Fan out of Kansas City. We're back after this.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, why wait until Black Friday to get great savings offers when you can get Black Friday savings right now? Savings like up to $9,300 off MSRP on our new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTZ Crew Cab with Costco membership. Or lease a 2024 Chevy Blazer EV, only $399 per month for 36 months with Costco membership. And come see our inventory of top quality pre-owned models in stock now and Black Friday priced. So don't wait another day for Black Friday savings on new Chevy models. Come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia today or visit us 24-7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. Blazer lease based on 36 months, 12,000 miles per year with $4,100 cash or trade equity plus tax, title, and fees due at signing with approved credit.
Take the stress out of getting a mortgage. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union guides you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan and completing the application, ultimately getting you into your home on time and stress-free. When it's time to choose a lender, go with Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com to connect today. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424-226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. On the way down to Edmond, Oklahoma, obviously. Sorry I'm missing you guys on the show today. Also, one thing that I should point out, kickoff coming up at Mix 104.9 for the Hornet Sports Network. You can hear us in Topeka, Kansas City, here in Emporia as well. Another guy you can hear on the air in Kansas City is my guest now. We've had him on the show before, a longtime friend of the show, Alex Gold, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. They've now got on a new frequency, 96.5, and you can also hear him most Saturdays right here on KVOE, BetQL Network, the Infinity Sports Network, on Countdown 2. So Alex Gold, normal voice that you'll hear on our stations every weekend, he talked with me yesterday as we got out of town. Well, Alex, thanks so much, and I know that we were talking about the fact that, you know, it didn't seem like I follow you on social media, and I know that you weren't necessarily the campaign chair or anything, but Missouri passing sports gambling, so a big W for you on election night.
Look, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely had nothing to do with the campaign. You know, as someone that's definitely a sports betting advocate, I live on the Kansas side, so I've been able to live bet and everything for a couple of years now, but I'm just a big believer that people should have the opportunity to make, you know, their own decisions. And sports betting is one of them. And Missouri became the 39th state a couple weeks ago to legalize. And there's an outside chance by March Madness, folks on the Missouri side could bet, but the safer bet would probably be by the time NFL 2025, college football 2025 season.
Well, if somebody would have given you odds on the Chiefs being 9-0, would you have taken those coming into the year?
No, I wouldn't have, because frankly, when everybody, like, you know, does their schedule breakdowns, we did it like in August, I think, and we're going through the schedule and trying to figure out how many wins they're going to have, as we all do. I had this team going 14-3, and two of their losses were to Atlanta. They already beat Atlanta, of course, and to Buffalo, who they'll play this week, and that was before the season started. Now, based on what I've seen, based on the rest of the AFC, the fact that they have made it to the 9-0 mark before Sunday, you know, I think I'd be foolish to not try to upgrade my win total to at least 15 wins at this point.
Looking at how the Chiefs have won, I know a lot of people, the naysayers, will say the Chiefs have trailed in 8 or more games. I think, you know, Mitch comes on with us every week. I think it's a record for the most wins a team has had while trailing in a portion of those games on the way to a 9-0 start. Do you feel like this is sustainable for Kansas City, the way that they are winning games, not playing necessarily consistently well offensively? But boy, this defense seems to show up every week.
I think it's sustainable because, one, they haven't peaked yet, and so there's something to be said for that I don't believe this is the end product for them. I truly don't believe they have played their best football. Whether you want to pinpoint the injuries, because this has been an injury-riddled season, of course, add now the kicker, Harrison Butker, to that mix, who's going to be out for probably a month. I mean, you go through, your wide receiver one and your wide receiver two have been hurt, and obviously RB1 and Isaiah Pacheco, and you can keep going down the list, quarterback number two. I mean, there's been so many key injuries, and yet they're 9-0, and so I think as they get healthier, you know, you're going to get Isaiah Pacheco back here soon. They're getting Juju Smith-Schuster back in Buffalo. At some point late this year, I think there is an outside chance Hollywood Brown is back in the picture. And so I don't think they play their best football. I look at a team like Detroit, who is playing great, and to me, they're playing at their peak. Not that they can't sustain it, but like they're already at their peak. The Chiefs, I haven't seen their peak, and I also know that when they have to have a play, to your point about the defense coming up big, when they have to have a play, either Patrick Mahomes could have two interceptions, but it's the fourth quarter and he needs that one third down conversion, he'll utilize his legs if he has to. Obviously, the defense gets a goal line stand in that Raiders game, which was massive. I just think they have too many veterans on this team. Obviously, the best coach in football, and Andy Reid, that when it matters most, they know how to find that one play. They know how to flip that switch in the playoffs as well.
Alex Gold is my guest. He's on Twitter, at Alex Gold, host on The Fan, 96.5, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. Kareem Hunt has come in. He seems to be so quickly integrated into this offense. I feel like we ought to be surprised, but maybe not, just based on how well he fit when he was first here. What's your thought on him coming back to Kansas City? We know about the problems. We know about his time there with the Browns, but coming back to Kansas City, I'm not sure that I thought he would be up to speed this quickly, but it seems like he is.
I don't know how anybody can't be surprised by how good he's been. You know, yes, the familiarity doesn't hurt. Maybe that's why he was able to jump in so quickly. But what he's done, you know, he's been a real volume back for them. He's averaging around 23, 24 carries a game. His yards per carry numbers aren't going to pop out at you. I think he's like 3.4 yards per carry, which is definitely not where you want to be. But with the Pacheco injury, he has given them someone they can lean on, that can rack up carries, that has experience. You know, Carson Steele's a rookie. We saw the fumbling issues early on. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been dealing with, of course, the personal issues off the field, and he hasn't been activated at all this season. So they really needed somebody like Kareem Hunt with experience that could just eat the carries for starters. And then, you know, with Kareem Hunt, you know he's going to give you the tough physical yards. He's not going to break out a 20-yard run, but he's going to get you the 2 or 3 yards, and he's always going to lean forward, and there's something to be said for that. Plus, he's motivated. I mean, you referenced the way it ended in Kansas City the first go-around. He is plenty motivated knowing that, and he acknowledged it. You know, you blow that opportunity back in, what was that, 2018, I guess.
Yeah.
And you missed out on a couple rings. And so now you've got a chance to maybe go get one, to prove people wrong. All of that, I think, is huge motivation. But at the same time, I do think the workload he's getting may not be sustainable, which is why it's really important here very soon, maybe as soon as next week against Carolina, we'll see, that Isaiah Pacheco could be back in the mix, because he's the better running back. But I think if you had a 1-2 punch and you could kind of keep both of them fresh come postseason, that would be a big asset.
Looking at Patrick Mahomes this year, there was a lot of games and a long stretch of time where he had a negative touchdown-interception ratio. Now, the last couple of weeks, had a really good game against the Buccaneers, did just enough against the Broncos, still is completing nearly 70% of his passes. But what's the conversation been like between you and the fans up in Kansas City regarding Patrick Mahomes? 2,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, a QBR of 90, which are all solid numbers, but they're not necessarily Mahomesian numbers that we've come to expect.
And that's the thing. The bar and how we grade him is so different than any other quarterback in the league because of what he's shown us, because of what his accomplishments have been. So fair or not, he's judged on a different scale. And if you're just box score watching these games, plenty of people, I'm sure, from the outside as well would say, okay, yeah, he's been bad at times. I think if you watch the games, you can acknowledge that he, of course, has not been playing at the same level. But at the same time, when they've needed game-winning plays, you know, I'll go back a couple weeks when they needed that crucial third down, I think it were fourth and goal, excuse me, against the 49ers. He, of course, runs it in and stiff arms the guy.
Runs him over.
Runs him over. It was amazing. Yeah, and all. I mean, honestly, it was terrific.
That has to look terrible on film when you go in the next day. Like, you got trucked by Patrick Mahomes? That had to be awful.
No question. And then the last name of the player escapes me right now, but props to him because he did go on Twitter the next day or later that day. And had a pretty funny gif that he put out. It basically just owning it, which is the only thing you can do. So I respect the 49ers player that just kind of owned it versus trying to spin it in some other way. But no, he makes game-winning plays with his feet if he has to, and the one big throw, typically, he has to. Now, last week, you know, against the Broncos, it almost cost him because he missed the throw that he normally would make to Travis Kelce in the end zone. I think a big reason why the numbers are also down is that deep pass is just not there for him. And last year, it was more about the wide receivers. This year, you know, some of it has been worthy because he didn't know where the boundary was a few weeks ago and was out of bounds. Last week against Denver, of course, Worthy was wide open, and Mahomes led him way too far to the sideline, really out of bounds. So the deep pass is something that's still not fully in Mahomes' repertoire. They've been close, man. They've been close on connecting on these for Xavier Worthy, and it feels like, I don't know, maybe it'll be on Sunday. Feels like they're really close to finally connecting, and all of a sudden you connect on one or two of those, and not only the touchdown numbers look different for Mahomes and Worthy, but suddenly the yardage is, instead of throwing for 270, you're up to 315 or something. So I think they're close. I don't think anybody should be worried about the play of Mahomes, but the margin of error is definitely slimmer than it's ever been.
Alex Gold, my guest. He is a host on the BetQL Network, also the Infinity Sports Network. You can hear him just after we get done every Saturday here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBiteAuto.com. You can hear him up till the 10 o'clock hour here on KVOE talking sports betting. Going back here, switching gears to Kansas City Royals baseball, we went back and looked at the win totals that we had, that we predicted, you know, going into the year, how many are the Royals going to have. We all thought that they would be better. It would have been hard for them to be worse. I was the most optimistic, so I had the best guess. I picked 75 wins. Obviously, that was way too short. Alex, what did we miss going into the year that maybe could have clued us in as to how good the Royals were going to be? Because here in Emporia, none of us had it right.
No. I mean, the same thing here at our station in Kansas City. My preseason total was 78, so I was way off as well. What was it? It was pitching. I mean, if we're going to be honest about what carried this team this past season, it's that Seth Lugo turned into a Cy Young candidate, that Seth Lugo was, you know, an all-star, that Cole Reagans continued to perform the way we saw in the back half of a season ago, and that Michael Walker was as consistent as he's typically been throughout his career. I mean, that was really the main reason why. And then, of course, Bobby Witt Jr. is having an MVP season. He's probably going to finish second in MVP voting. That's ultimately why they were able to have the success that they did. And, you know, what's amazing, heading into the year, everybody thought the AL Central was going to stink, too.
Yeah,
that, hey,
they were wrong.
If you just get to 85 wins, you might win the division. Well, three teams from the AL Central end up making the postseason. All three managers are manager of the year finalists. So this division is way tougher, too, which makes it more impressive to me what the Royals were also able to do. And that's why I think it was so big, Blake, that they brought back Michael Walker on a new three-year deal. I guess it could be four with a club option. But that was key to me because it gives them some more opportunities to maneuver this offseason if they want to improve the lineup at all.
Yeah, I was talking with Jeff Lutz down in Wichita, and I mentioned to him, I saw him at a Shocker game I think I was down there for, and you know, longtime Indians fan, obviously, now still a Cleveland fan. And I said, yeah, just like we all thought, the American League Central, the best division in baseball, just like everybody predicted, right?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, I mean, really, it's a testament, obviously, to the teams and what they've been able to do. I think they all hired really, really strong managers too. Heck, I'll even go down, you know, I mean, A.J. Hinch a couple years ago at the time, people were questioning that just because of the background from Houston and
yeah,
everything.
Of course.
But and the cheating scandal. But AJ Hinch and Vogt and Quatrero, I think, are going to be pretty good managers for a while in this division.
Looking at the greatest area of need, obviously, you certainly want to make sure that the pitching staff stays solid. The Waka signing is certainly going to help that. He had, you know, the best year that he had had in several for the Royals. They've got Bobby Wood Jr. locked up for quite a while. It seems like an outfield bat had been the thing that had been talked about the most, is getting a better outfield offense for this team. What do you think is the biggest area of need for the Royals next year?
What's tricky for them, it's definitely a bat. It's definitely a middle order, middle of the order, or leadoff bat. What's tricky is just, unless you move pieces, the spots are kind of filled. Like, you know, there's not many guys that you're just going to, you know, flat out cut or you know, or expiring contracts. You know, that's what makes it a little tricky. I mean, you go through, I agree, there's definitely areas to upgrade, but also, they got a lot of guys with control still. I mean, even at MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell, Hunter Renfro did opt in, of course, to his player option. He gladly taken the money. He didn't have a great year, but he's back. So you're kind of stuck there in right field. There's not a ton of options. The name that I think has been gaining a little bit of traction amongst fans, I don't know if it necessarily is the Royals organization, is that Alec Bohm, the third baseman, who's only, I believe, 20, it's a free agent in 2027. He's only like 27, 28 years old, coming off his first All-Star appearance. He's a third baseman there in Philly. He's put on the trade block by the Phillies. And so that's a really intriguing name. There's your leadoff hitter. Now, there'll be competition for him, but financially, it's not going to break the bank. I think through arbitration, maybe it's $8 million a year for a couple years. It bumps up above that. And the compensation is the number one question. Are the Royals willing to give away pieces? But they have said they're willing to be transactional, and so let's see that. I think this is an opportunity. Go get your leadoff hitter. I don't think it's a huge downgrade at third base if you were to move on from Michael Garcia if the right trade presented itself.
Sure.
But I don't know what it would take. You know, that's the big question. It's not like football where we have a good idea what it takes to trade for a player, what the compensation could be. Baseball is a little trickier, I think, from the outside. So, you know, is it something where you have to package Brady Singer to go get Bohm? Is it something where you could package an Alec Marsh and a Michael Garcia? I don't know, but Alec Bohm is definitely a name that I think would fit this organization perfectly. Imagine the top of the order, leadoff hitter, Alec Bohm, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino. I like that 1-4.
Hey, bring the Shocker home, former Wichita State Shocker Alec
That's
Bohm.
True.
Bring him home
That's
to
true.
Kansas City. Well, last thing for you, Alex. I always have to get you out of here on this. Any action that you like? Any bets that are intriguing you this weekend?
So there's three around the Chiefs game, and at last check, the Chiefs are 2.5-point underdogs, and Patrick Mahomes as an underdog is always a great spot. I mean, it's almost an automatic bet for me just because of, what is it now, 11-1-1 against the spread, something like that, for Mahomes as an underdog. So three bets. One is just, you know, buy the half point, take KC plus three, take KC on the money line to win outright. I think it's plus 110 or so. And then do a teaser. And for those that aren't familiar with betting and teasing, basically what you're doing is you're buying 6 points. You can buy even more, but you buy 6 points. So all of a sudden the Chiefs go from 2.5-point dogs to an 8.5-point underdog, and you pair it with one other game or two other games. So Monday Night Football, Texans and Cowboys. So you can then tease the Texans down to something like 1.5-point favorites. And all of a sudden, then you just need the Chiefs to stay within 8.5 points, the Texans to win by more than a point, and you hit both bets. Odds drop down from plus money to like minus 130, but that's another bet that I like.
Alex Gold on Twitter, at Alex Gold, and he does a great job during March Madness on his Facebook page. He will give you some action and some bets throughout the NCAA tournament as well. Alex, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Blake.
Tim and Dylan, that's it for now. Back to you in the studio.
All right, good conversation there with Alex Gold from 96.5 The Fan out of Kansas City. And we continue with the Kansas City connection, as, of course, as we do every week, our conversation with the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Mitch Holtis, good morning. I know you're just about on your way to beautiful Orchard Park, New York, for a big game tomorrow, but thanks as always for your time.
Yep, another big game with these guys. Think about it. Josh Allen and Mahomes have met each other. This will be the eighth time. Almost feels like a division opponent. and not just when we play them. It's a big game every time we play them. And this is the first time, you guys, that a 9-win team has met an 8-win team this late in a season since the AFL-NFL merger. Mm-hmm. Which I had to look twice at that, thinking, is that true? And that's true. So it tells you how big this game is. The whole nation is waiting for it.
Well, yeah, such a big game with certainly the Chiefs hoping to hold on to that top spot in the AFC. The difference could be three games or one game and a tiebreaker there with the Bills. So, yeah, huge. And this Chiefs team, Mitch, they just keep finding ways to win. And, wow, how improbable last week. I have to admit, I thought they were done. I thought the field goal would be kicked and the Broncos would come to Arrowhead and get a big W, but they get the blocked field goal. Mitch, is this team a team of destiny? Are they living on the edge? I mean, this has been nuts.
Tim, I'm shattered because I thought you would be the last to give hope.
I know. I'm sorry.
I know Dylan would have bailed out early. Blake would have been, I don't know where Blake would have been, but he's like, nah, they're going to lose. They need to lose. This would be good for him. If Souter was around anywhere, he'd go, why'd Butker kick the ball out of bounds? And I thought, no, it would be Tim. Tim that would hang. Nope, not even
no,
Tim.
Not even me.
When Lloyd Christmas looked at Lauren Holly and said, so you're saying there's a chance. That's
yes.
And dumber. You know that the Chiefs have a shot.
Yeah.
And then you go back and think about the kind of the physics and preparation and the dynamics of this kick. Leo Chenal was on our Defending the Kingdom podcast. If people are driving around later today, and you can find it, it's easily archived and can pursue it. But on the Defending the Kingdom podcast, he kind of lays it all out. And the fact that the Broncos actually helped the Chiefs by moving the ball to the right hash. You know, sometimes they'll put it in the middle. The kickers want it in the middle. Evidently, Will Lutz wanted it to the right hash because I saw him move over, and I'm like, well, this is odd. And then that kicked right into where the Chiefs were going to cave in the B gap. And that poor dude, 54 guy for the Broncos, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He got hit by three trucks. And bye-bye. Game over. But isn't it a strength, you guys, when you have a team that finds different ways to win? People look at it as a weakness. Oh, they're a family. They're the weakest 9-0 team of all time. And I'm going, well, maybe it's the other side of this, that they've won in every way, shape, or form. A defense is capable of winning a game. So are special teams. So is the offense. And here we go to shuffle off to Buffalo to try to do the same thing.
Mitch, how important is it to have Juju Smith-Schuster back in the lineup, knowing it's unlikely that Isaiah Pacheco will be back tomorrow playing, and even Charles Omenihu on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, it's an awesome question, and I'm really excited, Dylan, to see that. Now, always give you guys a scoop before what I say on the air, but it's going to feel like the 2018 Pro Bowl. And to get those guys out there. But I'm a little bit salivating to have Juju and D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins, and Kelsey on the field at the same time. And that, to me, opens up things for Xavier Worthy. Been so close to popping another big one with him. I'll buy you guys donuts if we don't get a big play from Worthy in this game, because it's all going to be set up by your question and my excitement to have all those guys on the field at the same time. I think it just poses real problems for defenses and Kareem Hunt and Samaje Perine. I mean, you're coming now with the weapons, not the speed you thought you would have when you had Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, but you're coming now with a multiplicity of weapons that the Chiefs thought they were going to have in training camp.
And conversely, the Bills will be minus some weapons. No Keon Coleman. Dalton Kincaid, how big of a loss is he for the Buffalo offense?
He is he doesn't have the girth of a Travis Kelce, but he has the route running. Dalton Kincaid has the ability to run every route on the route tree. He poses problems because just as we've talked about Kelce opening things up for wide receivers, then that's what Kincaid does for the Bills. Now, they still have Dawson Knox. I mean, they basically have two TE1s on this team, if you will. But you're taking away, about 54 catches and 800 yards with the two guys you mentioned. Coleman's a good rookie. They traded down
Remember, we traded with them to trade up to get Xavier Worthy. And so the Bills went down and got traded down, got Coleman. They love him, think he's great. He's going to be good. But to have him out of this game, I mean, we've had this. We've had it already this year. But Tim, you take 54 catches and 800 yards out of your offense, you can't. It just puts more emphasis on James Cook, the running back, as a receiver, more Dawson Knox, and more Khalil Shakir.
Mitch, I know Buffalo, you know, is strong at the linebacker position with Matt Milano, and I believe he is still out. He's still on injured reserve. Mm-hmm. But how different is this Buffalo defense than what the Chiefs have seen recently in the last couple of meetings? And I know Milano, he was a handful whenever he was out on the field.
I love it when you guys are full of good questions, and this is another really good question. The linebackers are okay, and they love Terrell Bernard. They're getting him back. But this is a Buffalo defense that is, if Patrick Mahomes gets one more click of time, they have given up 20. They're 27th in the league out of 32 teams in the amount of big plays they've given up, 20 yards or more. This is kind of overlooked when everybody looks at the 8-2 Bills, like, wow, they're right there, right there. Well, dude. Maybe not. Maybe they're getting by. I'm going to get to where why they're 8-2 in a second. But you brought up a great point. The Chiefs could shred these guys. And the other thing they're giving up is they're 25th in the league, so only six teams are below them, seven teams, in the amount of big runs they've given up. They give up chunk plays now. What they live off, here is the key to the game. I might be stealing your next question. The key to the game is the giveaway-takeaway ratio.
Yep.
And you're going, well, wait a minute. It's that way in the Burlingame-Frankfurt game. It doesn't matter what level you're playing at. But with a team, certain that ratio is more important than others. The Buffalo Bills have 19 takeaways in 10 weeks. That's absurd.
Crazy.
And they've only given it away six times. That's plus 13 in a 10-game margin. Well, not only that, they have 77 takeaway points off those 19 takeaways. I'll buy you another dozen donuts if the Chiefs are even in this game, meaning they're just even in the turnover margin, because I think even means a win, but I think minus one means a loss. It's that important in this game with this opponent. And the Chiefs are minus four still for the season. And I'm going to go back to where it concerns me on the defense, Dylan, is their outside guys, A.J. Epinesa and Greg Rousseau. Go back to 2021. Greg Rousseau, who's got a 7-foot wingspan, they're big, 6'6". Screen set up to go for 20 yards. Tip pass, he tips it to himself, interception. Last year, A.J. Epinesa, similar. If you watch it on video, you're going to see, ooh, that looks like a 15-yard completion. Tip pass, interception. These two guys are so long at 6'6", with long wingspans, they can get a perfect play, well blocked, and still affect the play to make it a brutal play for you. So there is, in essence, the Buffalo defense and why they're 8-2, that and Josh Allen being resourceful.
Well, Mitch, we've seen injuries on the offense. We've seen injuries on the defense. And now our place kicker is gone. Mm. Harrison Butker on IR. Spencer Schrader, what should Chiefs fans know about this guy?
Well, he was working in Hartford at the co-op when we found him, and he was cleaning some seed wheat. And I said, can you kick? He's like, yeah, I kicked back in the day like Uncle Rico. They'd let me kick that 62-yarder, we'd have won state. So this kid is really interesting. Now, Butts, I had a long talk with Butt on Wednesday, before Wednesday practice, and he seemed fine. And maybe he was just, I didn't see him kick. I mean, this was in the hallway having a chat. But then Thursday, he kind of tried to go, and that was it. Boom, 4 weeks. Schrader is a kid who grew up in Indiana, but he moved to Florida, I think, to be recruited for soccer. He was really interested in being picked up by a national soccer team or a pro team that was looking at him from Brazil. He gets hurt there. Anyway, he kicks for South Florida. University of South Florida picks him up. So he does a pretty good job for them. And then his last year, here we go again with the graduate transfer, transfer portal, blah, blah, blah. He goes to Notre Dame and does a good job for Notre Dame. Not awesome, but not bad. Doesn't miss any kicks to, you know, cause the Notre Dame fans to put him up on a tree or anything.
Right.
So this kid is interesting. Tim, you're going to love this kid. He's got, might want to have him sell for you. He's got three businesses that he owns.
Wow.
He's like 23. Yeah, he's got a, Salesforce slash website business. He's got a homeschool resource business. This kid was homeschooled. So he's got a homeschool resource conduit for homeschool families to get him curriculums. This kid is like entrepreneur. So we're like, I said all that in another show, and somebody said, just have him make the kick.
Yeah.
Okay? Just make the kick. We'll worry about all that other stuff later.
Yeah.
So that's what we got. I think he's reliable inside of 40, but I don't know if we're going to trot him out there to try a 56-yarder and give up field position to Josh Allen. I think we may be going for it more than we think we're going to go for it or thought we were going to go for it on Monday of last week.
And, Mitch, what's key for the Chiefs' defense to contain the dual threat ability of Josh Allen?
Yeah, I think it starts with James Cook as both a runner and receiver. And they got three good backs, actually. Their other backs, their rookie, like a 29-year-old rookie, again, is a good back. But with Josh Allen, you have to respect his ability every time to run. Now, he can throw, but you got to trust the other guys. Like, we'll have a spy on him. But what Josh Allen does so very well, and Spags told me that, because what Buffalo does better than any team in the league, including the Ravens, because this is the team, and I thought last year it helped beat the Ravens that we played the Bills the week before in the playoffs, because they're the two teams that, maybe Jaden Daniels or the Commanders, but they're the two teams that do a really good job of a design quarterback run game. Not scrambling, design runs. Buffalo's better than Baltimore in the way they disguise plays, because it'll be Josh will go back on a 3 to 5 step drop. Oh, pass play, and then immediately it turns into this quarterback power play. They're really good at it, and Josh is really good at kind of faking you out. So you must stay disciplined every snap, which is hard to do, every snap that Josh could run every time for big yardage. Now, he's cut down on his turnovers, Dylan. Last year he was hemorrhaging turnovers. They were 6-6 when they beat us in December. People forget that. They made a run. They have won their last five, or they're not even going to make the playoffs. And but he was hemorrhaging turnovers. Not this year. He only has 4 interceptions. Uh-oh, all of them have come in the last 3 games. So the whole turnover thing could work against them too. But to answer your question, you must stay disciplined the entire game, regardless of down a distance, on quarterback improvisation by Josh. But mostly they're tricky plays that look like passes, and boom, it turns into a power run game. It's kind of like playing K-State when they had Colin Klein, because they would disguise these plays and really fool a defense.
Well, the superlatives continue for this Chiefs organization. They've guaranteed themselves the 12th straight winning season. They've won 15 in a row, a chance to go to 10-0 for the first time ever. But, Mitch, I want to go back to a stat that still just blows me away. I saw it, you know, since 2013, what they've done in this division. Of course, this goes back to last week, 54-15 in the AFC West since 2013. That's just nuts.
The highest percentage of any head coach against the division in NFL history. That includes Belichick against the NFC East. AFC East. That tells you everything. The other stats that blow you away is 9 straight times that they've trailed in the second half, they've won all those games. That's an all-time NFL record. 8 times they've trailed by 7-plus points or more, they've won them all, NFL record. All of these are NFL records. Like, Tim, what planet are we on? But Andy Reid has absolutely obliterated this division and will continue to do so. He spends every waking hour trying to figure out how to nuke those other 3 teams.
Well, Mitch, I'm excited for the weekend. I got my Jayhawks, who could be spoilers tonight at BYU.
Yes.
I've got a big, big birthday party this weekend. My grandson is 1, Mitch, 1 year old. So we're celebrating that.
Yeah.
And then we have the Chiefs tomorrow. So Huge
nothing
weekend.
Bigger. And plus 10 points if one of your family will get him a K-State Powercat one.
Yeah. Oh, Mitch.
And I could see Dad in the corner going, no, none of that.
Yeah.
None of that. You know, Kansas is interesting. They were so impressive against Iowa State last week. And I'm sure you were thinking, this is the team we thought we were going to have all year long. But where Kansas has everything in their hand to pretty much decide who's going to play in the Big 12 championship game, because not only that game tonight, and I'm telling you, be forewarned. First of all, get a nap. That's at 9:30 start time. Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Two is playing at BYU is like riding a unicycle in a hailstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
It is crazy there. But you get Prime next week.
Yep.
You guys could beat Coach Prime.
Yep.
You know who's going to – if K-State wins out, you are K-State's biggest ally. You K-State fans there, take a deep breath. You need Kansas to be good the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
Okay, there, I said it.
There you go.
All right, go ahead and drive around.
All right.
It's going to be fun to watch this. This is on. And KU's playing like the team they thought they were going to have week one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So like I say, huge weekend for the Miller household, so we're all excited. So
there you go. Happy birthday, that little –
Yeah,
that little one.
Yep.
You guys don't have a date night, do you?
Our date night is the birthday party today. So that's kind of the deal there. So
I was going to say, make sure you take the Emporia State Federal Credit Union on the date night.
Well, Mitch,
hey, where are we going? Doesn't matter. Just taking the ad. Game on. Game off.
Well, Mitch,
having to do some push-ups, take the ad.
Yeah.
Give me the hard copy.
Yeah.
Mitch, have a very safe trip to Orchard Park, New York. We can't wait for the game tomorrow. Certainly we'll be listening for your call, and hopefully the Chiefs can go to 10-0 for the first time ever.
Dylan, is he blushing?
Yes.
I thought so.
You've done it. You've done that a couple of times.
May have a one-year-old cousin. I don't know. So. All right, boys. Enough of that. We'll see you.
See you, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch. All right. So Mitch Holtis, of course, his appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. So, Dylan, let's go through the schedule here before we get out of here. Of course, we have Emporia State football, big game for the Hornets today, as they can play a little bit of a spoiler against Central Oklahoma, also in their season with a big win and hopefully move themselves into a position to get a bid to the bowl game. That'll be a noon pregame, 1 o'clock kick from Edmond, Oklahoma. That contest can be heard on Mix 104.9. K-State, again, they need wins to stay in contention to get into the Big 12 championship game. The Cats at home tonight against Arizona State, 4 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock kickoff. That contest heard on Country 101.7 FM. KU football later on tonight, way later on tonight, against number 6 BYU, 7:30 pregame, 9:15 kick. That contest on KVOE AM. Prior to that, we'll have KU basketball as the number 1 team in the country. We'll take on Oakland in Allen Fieldhouse, 3:30 pregame, 5 o'clock tip.
And honoring Bill Self with being the all-time winningest coach in KU history.
Yep, big moment. Number 591. That game, again, will be heard here on KVOE AM. So, yeah, so I think – and, of course, the Chiefs tomorrow, huge one in Buffalo.
Yep.
2 o'clock pregame, 3:25 kick from Orchard Park. Chiefs and the Bills, that game on Country 101.7 FM. So that will wrap things up for us. Dylan, anything that we missed?
Not that I know of, and I just hope everything plays in our favor.
Yep, hopefully it'll be a good weekend of sports. Good luck to K-State, KU, and, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. So that will do it for this Saturday, another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk in the books. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Tim Miller. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LombineAuto.com.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.